KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Here's a New Year's resolution we probably all like to keep. We'd all like to make our brains smarter.
Smart, yeah. I thought that I was smart when I took someone's car and I drove it up. But I failed to check them brakes. Smart. Being smart is art. Being art is watching what's coming round and then expect what's coming next, cause everybody else wants sex smart.
Can you make your brain smarter? Is it art? Is it a discipline? Joining us to answer these questions is cognitive neuroscientist Sandra Bond Chapman. She's the founder and chief director of the Center for Brain Health and a professor at the University of Texas in Dallas. Dr. Sandra Chapman's new book is called Make Your Brain Smarter, an easy plan to increase your creativity, energy, and focus. Happy New Year, Dr. Chapman.
Happy New Year.
Let's define our terms. What do you mean by smart, and what don't you mean?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because one of the things that I talk about in the book is the whole notion of how we define smart for most people is outdated, it's wrong, it's misleading, and it's backwards. And one of the things I like to do is ask people, if you were going to find out who is the smartest person in the room, what kinds of questions would you ask to try to find that out? And people say, well, I might ask, what is your IQ? What was your grade point average? What was your major in college? But as we've learned over the last 30 years in our brain research, these are not the things that define how smart you are.
What are?
So being smart is someone that is able to be very dynamic and nimble with their mind, move from the known to the unknown, and very innovative. And as we know, a lot of people that know the most facts don't always make the best innovators and people that can change things in terms of how we're acting. So, you know, what's interesting for me is every single person in over the last 30 years, as I've worked with individuals, they've been limited by either how schools define them, how their bosses have defined them, or really how they define their selves in terms of what they can achieve. And today, through scientific discovery, we can literally see a normal person's brain changing in real time. In just hours, not months and years.
And we're going to talk about some of those methods that you have to suggest that people can use to do that. Dr. Chapman, I meet kids sometimes, and I think they're so smart and so young. They must have been born smart. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, a lot of people begin to think about, is it genes? Do you have to choose your parents? You know, or I was Mensa, so once smart, always smart. Our genes have a lot to do with it, but it's really a small percent of the equation, and it gets smaller the older we are, because your environment literally can re-change the way that your brain can think. So it's called, this whole field called epigenetics. Kids seem smart because they do things quick. They're like sponges. And I think it's interesting when people are asked, when you think you were the smartest. And Ross, I'd like to know, when do you think you were the smartest?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Well, people always say it's sometime in the past. Yours is more recent.
I read the book, so I cheated.
Yesterday. But what I want you to say is it's tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
That's what I really want you to say. Okay. So, but we always feel like kids are smarter, youth is smarter, because they seem like they learn things so quickly. They absorb things as they are. But the things that we get better at, your brain should get smarter every day of your life. And in terms of being able to abstract and synthesize and see new possibilities, older people get better and better at that.
I was going to ask you about older and older people, because you sort of dispel the myth that you can't get smarter when you get older. But can you get smarter as easily or as quickly as you can get smarter when you're younger?
You know, I think the research is coming in on that, and it's what you asked me at the very beginning, how do we define smart? And most people begin to say how much you know, how quick you can absorb things like foreign language and facts. That's something that does slow down as we get older. But what older people get better at, if they stay cognitively robust, is knowing what, and something that I think is becoming more and more important, is what not to take in, what to block from coming in. In this day of information overload, most of what is making us not as smart is taking in too much information. So if I give you 10 things to learn that you have to take in, you're going to have a lot harder time than if I say, I want you to learn these two things really well. You will learn much better and you won't throw it out. Older people get better and better at knowing what not to attend to.
Dr. Sandra Bond Chapman is with me, and she's a cognitive neuroscientist, and she's written a book called Make Your Brain Smarter, An Easy Way to Increase Your Creativity, Energy, and Focus. And Dr. Chapman, there's that 10,000-hour theory that to get really good at something, you have to practice for 10,000 hours. But your subtitle says an easy plan. So give us some easy ideas on how to make our brain smarter.
And easy, it's not really an easy plan, but it is a strategy.
Wait a minute, it says right here on the book, it says an easy plan.
That was the old copy.
Oh, okay. I must have an earlier copy of it.
Yes, because I took that out because it's easy to do, but it takes an adoption. What we teach people is it's a strategy of how you think. It's not how much you know, but it's a process that you take, whether you go see a movie or you're listening to this radio show right now. How are you taking that information and synthesizing it? So we teach people 9 strategies, regardless of what they're doing. This is something that you need to think about rather than going to rote and trying to get back information verbatim as I give it to you. Is to transform it, to make it new, to be innovative, is what we train people through this book.
We might get to all 9, but give us a couple. Give us some examples of what you're talking about, some things we could even put to use today.
Okay. Well, one of the biggest things that we start with is first what I call strategic attention, and it's kind of what I was alluding to with older people that they're really good at. I call one thing the brain power of none. The brain power of none is where when you're trying to figure out something, solve something deep, whether it's something you want to invest in or a new job that you want to take or even someone that you want to ask out, if you will do nothing, your brain actually goes deeper. Your brain works more for you at rest than it does when you're trying really hard to learn something. So the brain power of none is something that we train people to take advantage of when you're trying to solve the most complex issue that you're dealing with. Another thing that you might do, we call the brain power of one. And as you can imagine, today with multitasking being rampant, people are rarely doing one thing at a time. And yet research is strongly showing when the brain is trying to do two things at once, it does everything worse. It's using more activity and actually causing you to have more errors and lower productivity. So our brain kind of tricks us if we're trying to do two things at once to thinking that we're being more efficient, but you're actually doing it at a lower level of quality and being less efficient.
I want to mention that I was looking at the uncorrected proof, advanced uncorrected proof. So I when I said that it says on right on the cover an easy plan, obviously that got edited out in the final edition.
Yes, it did. Because the reason it's not easy is people want a quick pill. They want a vaccine. They want to say, just tell me what to do. And when I go to tell them that it's a process, it's not something that you go off and do 30 minutes, but it's a way of thinking. We literally, through the science, we haven't even begun to tap the potential of the human brain. And for me, this is what's exciting, is that we can show when you start thinking, quit overburning your brain from multitasking, taking everything in to think deeper, we see changes in brain blood flow. And your brain blood flow is your energy source for the brain. We lose 1% every decade beginning in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing people can increase it by 8 to 12%.
Well, you're talking about a physiological change in our bodies. And as you say, I put this question on our Facebook page, what do you do to get smarter? And people were looking for the quick answer. We got this from Rick, who said to get smarter, he drinks coffee at Cafe Pioneer Square Vita. And we got this on our Facebook page. Chris wrote, ask her if there are any benefits to marijuana for getting smarter. Is there anything we can take that physiologically opens up those brain passages that allows us to have more brain power?
Yeah, and again, people always want to go to what is the quick pill or the quick drink that I can take. The research is just beginning to explore that. I know caffeine is something that they show you have kind of heightened arousal during periods of concentration. So if you need to focus, hyper-focus for a period of time, it looks like it does make the neurons active. The problem is that you lose your deeper level of thinking. So just because you're focused doesn't mean that you can solve problems better.
So you think that you're...
We see sometimes with ADHD medicine that it may make you focus, but focus isn't what we know shows you to be smarter, to be more intellectually, think deeper and solve more complex problems.
Now, Robin wrote, when we asked, what do you do to get smarter, she wrote, read, read, read. And that seems to fit a little bit with what you're talking about, in that you're focusing longer if you're reading it for extended lengths of time. Does that make you smarter?
Yeah, and it's interesting because reading, you can, people have libraries full of books. And I say, well, what about that book? What's it about? Well, I don't know, because you can read passively or you can read deeply. Reading alone does not make you smarter. But if you read, and rather than try to memorize or think about everything it said, but if you try to interpret it, synthesize, what are some life messages? How can I apply this? How can I use this when I'm talking to my child or my spouse to really think about everything deeper in a book? It's that connections that you help different communication between frontal lobes to your, which is your kind of higher order thinker and decision maker, versus your temporal lobes that's more information coming in. You'll use more parts of the brain and make it faster. So reading alone doesn't make you smarter. You have to really process the information at a deeper level than it's coming in. Same thing for movie.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, to not just kind of gorge yourself on the book, but pause and reflect on it at certain points to figure out, to connect it to what's going on.
And we've actually shown the difference in people that we say, learn as many facts as you can from this text or this chapter versus I want you to synthesize it. The people that synthesize start, even as they're reading, thinking at first, it's hard because we kind of go on automatic pilot. We just want to read. But it actually makes you enjoy it, and you remember it a lot longer, and your brain gets healthier and smarter.
Dr. Sandra Bond Chapman is my guest. Her book is called Make Your Brain Smarter. She's a cognitive neuroscientist, and she's a professor at the University of Texas in Dallas. You wrote in the book that one of the biggest obstacles to brain health is inaccurate ideas about productivity. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of productivity, we are driven to think that the more tasks we take on, the more hours we work, the more everything new that we do something new every day, do something new every minute, that it makes you smarter, but it actually builds a lot more fragile synapses. It's more important to go deeper on a few things that you really love to make you smarter. Or to really think about how you're organizing your day, to not say I'm going to do 20 tasks today, but today, and we call this the brain power of two. So I was talking about none, one, and two. If you know every single day these two tasks are the most important, I'm going to spend the majority of my brain energy on these, whether it's 1 hour, 2 hours, you will be more productive than if you tick 30 things off of your long to-do list. Because what we typically do is tick off the little things, the rabbits that take our attention away. So we say when you're hunting elephants, don't get distracted chasing rabbits. And most of the time, our productivity, we measure by how many rabbits we take care of. We want you to go for your elephants. And then you'll see your brain get smarter, your productivity exponentially increase. People are blown away. They said, I had never realized, we've had someone, Mike came in and was saying, it's changed my life after you did the training with me to show because I didn't realize I felt so productive when I was ticking off and doing all these emails and taking care of so much. But now that I take care of my elephants, I'm so much more productive and my brain isn't fried at the end of the day.
Well, that's a great core message. If you think by trying to do a lot of things that you're smarter, or by reading a lot of books you're smarter, you might need to slow down and take it a little bit better. One of your key messages is that your brain works smarter when you make it slow down. Now, is that to say that things we do that don't make us smarter, say, for example, a more considered reading of a book, stopping and pausing and thinking, do those things make us dumber, or is it just kind of neutral to try to cram our heads with too much information or multitask all the time? Are they actually working against being smarter, or are they neutral?
They actually work against, believe it or not. They are showing that the more people multitask, chronic multitaskers, actually lose a lot of their measured intellectual performance. So that the things that we do that make it are actually toxic for our brain. They can build up a cortisol called a hormone called cortisol, which actually fries the part of your brain that learns new things. So the things that we do is not neutral. How you spend the time with your brain and energy, because you think about it, the human brain is only 2% of our body mass, but it uses 20% of the energy, and there's only a limited amount of energy. So the more you use it up on doing all these things, truly today we're working 46-hour days from multitasking, and it's not neutral. It is very detrimental.
We got this when I asked the question, what do you do to make your brain smarter? Selena wrote one word. She wrote, teach. Can teaching make your brain smarter?
Yes, teaching is an excellent thing to say, because it makes you think about things in a deeper way, because you're getting out of rote. You're trying to put yourself in someone else's mind and to mentor them the process of learning. So tutoring, mentoring are excellent things for making you smarter.
Cognitive neuroscientist Sandra Bond Chapman. The new book is called Make Your Brain Smarter. And what's the new subtitle?
The new subtitle is Increase Your Brain's Creativity, Energy, and Focus.
Hey, thank you so much for talking to us today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Sandra Bond Chapman, she's founder and director of the Center for Brain Health and a professor at the University of Texas in Dallas. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwin Nixon. We get production help from Cameron Drews and Molly Williams. Andy Hurst is at the helm. Good afternoon.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.